This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Today's report on unemployment claims should be marked defective and returned. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There is news this morning that filings for unemployment benefits fell very sharply last week. Normally, that would be a useful sign about an improving labor market, but there is a caveat here, a big one. And for that caveat, we turn to Diane Swank, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Morning, Ms. Swank.
Good morning.
What's wrong with this weekly jobless statistic?
Well, there was two states that didn't report because of computer glitches, which means these numbers, you basically throw them out. The underlying trend is in the right direction, but these numbers really just don't mean all that much.
So that little statistic's not going to dominate in the markets today. What is dominating is a kind of wait-and-see attitude, Diane, about whether or not the Federal Reserve will ratchet back its buying of bonds to stimulate the economy. In fact, you got some insight into this from really the horse's mouth.
I certainly did, yes. John Williams, it's in San Francisco. He gave a speech on Monday.
And he's one of the members of the Federal Reserve?
He is one of the members, and he's very influential in terms of his intellect. He's very smart, and he's really worried about the unintended consequences, the bubbles that may be forming. The Fed doesn't want to, you know, cure one problem and create a bigger problem down the road. That's one of the things he's worried about, of this big balance sheet. And one of the things he said in the Q&A was, listen, the Fed would never intended for QE infinity, and clearly some people in the markets thought that's what it was. And in fact, he even remarked that he was somewhat reassured that the recent backup in yields had undone some potential bubbles in the markets. Maybe they unraveled some things that could have been very bad down the road.
Diane Swank, chief economist, Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
It was 5 years ago this weekend that Lehman Brothers, a storied Wall Street investment bank, went bust. It was the moment we looked into the financial abyss, then toppled in. This week on Marketplace, the lessons. If there is a signature phrase from the financial crisis, it may be too big to fail, a status afforded to Lehman's competition, but not Lehman itself. 5 years on, many big financial firms are only bigger. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports on one outlier that decided to shrink.
The day after Lehman Brothers failed, the government rushed in to bail out AIG. The insurance giant was heavily involved in backing toxic mortgages. AIG had grown so large, the government worried that if it collapsed, it would take down the U.S. financial system. Simon Johnson is an economist at MIT. He says letting companies get that large is dangerous.
It's dangerous like nuclear power is dangerous. If you want to keep nuclear power, you need to have a lot of fail-safes.
Since the crisis, the government has tried to create some fail-safes. One is the Financial Stability Oversight Council. Its job is to identify companies that are too big to fail, then put them through financial and regulatory hoops to make sure they don't fail. The list includes more than 30 banks, 9 insurance firms, and a company you might not expect.
General Electric marches on. You will march on with GE in 1941.
You probably think of General Electric as a manufacturing company, light bulbs, refrigerators. It also has a lending arm called GE Capital. GE went into banking during the Great Depression to help customers finance appliance purchases. Then it grew and started doing everything from processing Banana Republic credit cards to writing subprime mortgages during the housing boom.
GE is this large manufacturing company perched on top of this very large finance company.
Lawrence White is an economist at NYU. GE Capital has assets of more than $500 billion. But now the company wants to go back to its roots. It plans to spin off part of GE Capital, in part to avoid regulation. White isn't surprised.
Gee, all this regulation of GE Capital is going to interfere with our manufacturing operations. Maybe better they go their way and we go our way.
White says GE is a great example of how the too-big-to-fail regulation can keep companies to a manageable size. But MIT's Johnson says GE is the exception.
If size was a problem before and too-big-to-fail was a problem before, it's a problem on steroids now.
Johnson says calling a company too-big-to-fail actually alerts lenders that the government won't let that company go under. So any debts that company has will be backed by the U.S. government.
You're giving implicit subsidy to firms that increases when they are larger and when they take more risk. So you're basically encouraging exactly the kind of behavior that can cause crises.
Johnson says the five biggest banks are now significantly bigger than they were before the financial crisis. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Don't miss my colleague David Weinberg's piece about where the men and women who perpetrated fraudulent subprime lending ended up. Subprime was a big part of the Lehman collapse. All of our 5 years after Lehman coverage is at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.